Well, good morning. I got to tell you, last Sunday morning, we did a lesson on paradise and Hades. And that's where our people are that have passed on at this point. They are either in paradise or they are in Hades. They're in a place of torment. And after I gave that lesson, Randy got up here and said he wanted to hear more. And so I said, well, we'll do a lesson on the judgment day. Well, since that time, I've had several people come up to me and say they want to hear more than that. And I said, well, there's actually four lessons that I have that deal with life after death. And they said they want to hear all four of them. So today, we're not going to be doing about the judgment day. That's next week. This week, what we're going to do is about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, this one is the thing that I, and I'm sure most of us, hope for every day. We look forward to that moment in which He will come back and take us to where He is in heaven. I love that idea. I love that thought. So today we are going to be looking at the second coming. And in the process of looking at the second coming, some of the things that we will be looking at will be different than what you have heard from other preachers. Will be different from what you've heard from other evangelists. Will be different from what you've heard from other denominational speakers. Because there's a lot of things that are out there that are talked about with the second coming that really don't fit into the second coming. That's really not what it's about. You've heard about the 1,000-year reign? Well, folks, I'll let you know this right now. Jesus is in that 1,000-year reign today. Okay? Not when He comes back. It is today. Jesus is not going to reign here on this earth. Jesus is reigning in His kingdom now. And I want you to know this also, that when you look at the terminology that is used in the New Testament, when it says 1,000 years, folks, what that is this. The Roman numbering system is finite. It only goes so far. And so I'm kind of waiting for the day that the Super Bowls run out of Roman numerals. Because they're going to run out if we keep going. They're going to eventually run out of Roman numerals because it only goes so far. Now, we have an infinite numbering system because what we do is we just add another zero and just keep going. But the Romans couldn't do that. So anytime in the New Testament, anytime they say 1,000 or 1,000 years, or you've heard 144,000, that's the 12 tribes of Israel times 12,000. These are numbers that cannot be counted because the numbering system only goes so far. So realize they're not talking a literal 1,000 years to begin with. They're talking about a number that cannot be calculated. So when you read about those things and people talk about 1,000-year reign, well, Jesus is in that right now because He's reigning over His kingdom. We are part of His kingdom. And I am so thankful to be part of His kingdom because His kingdom will never cease. His kingdom will last forever. And so as we go through these messages, as we hear these messages, you're going to hear some things that you probably had never heard before, which is great because I like that. But you'll also hear some things that were different, that are different, than some of the things that you've heard through other ministers or other evangelists and other people who I say are sensationalism or sensationalists because they like to make it into something sensational. Well, just the fact of Jesus dying on the cross is sensational enough for me. So realize when I talk about the second coming here, I am pulling out Scripture and exactly what it says with the second coming. So let's start in Matthew chapter 24. If I can get there, it helps to turn this on. You know, I got had a good friend that was a superintendent of schools of Scranton School District back years ago. And he was like 105 years old at the time that he was still superintendent. And we were at this meeting together, and he said, you know, he said, I've been opposed to this technology ever since they came out with it. Amen. And my superintendent, who was a friend of his who liked to make fun of him, looked at him and said, what technology was that, the wheel? So, anyway, okay, you got to turn it on before it works. I got it on now, okay? So let's look at Matthew chapter 24 is where we're going to start today. And we're going to look at several different scripture and several different books of the Bible as we go through the second coming of Jesus Christ. But here's the one that everybody likes to go to and everybody likes to talk about. In Matthew chapter 24 verses 1 through 3, it starts out and it talks about Jesus leaving the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to a point out of the temple building to him. But he responded and said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. Now I want to stop there and I want to give you a little history lesson. Because in 70 AD, what took place was the Romans came in and destroyed Jerusalem. In 70 AD. We know this from history. We know this from the writings of Josephus. We know that this took place in 70 AD because there was an uprising against Rome. And Rome, of course, is not going to allow that to exist. So they marched in. And so Jesus warns his followers in Matthew chapter 24, he warns his followers about this, and he tells them very specifically, when you see them coming, don't go back inside, run for the hills. And Josephus, the Jewish historian writer, spoke, and he said that the followers of the Nazarene, he didn't believe in Jesus being the Son of God, but he said the followers of the Nazarene listened to his words and none of them were taken. Now what they did was they set fire to the city of Jerusalem. And in setting fire to the city of Jerusalem, the temple was overlaid in gold. And it caused the gold on the temple to melt. And when that gold on the temple melted, it seeped through the cracks of the mortar and the stone in which the temple was built. And even though the Romans had orders directly from Caesar not to touch the temple, not to destroy it, what happened was, because that gold was inside the walls of the temple, they literally mined the temple to get to the gold. And so truthfully, what happened was, just as Jesus says right here, not one stone of the temple was left upon another because they mined the temple for the gold that had seeped down through the cracks and crevices. That's what happened in 70 AD. Now in verse 3, I want you to see this. Because the apostles were with Jesus and they were saying, look at the temple, look how great it is, look how magnificent it is. And then Jesus responded and said, not one stone's going to be left on top of the other. So what they do is they ask Jesus two questions. Not just one, but two. And I have the two questions highlighted up here on the board. The two questions are this. When will these things happen? That's number one. They're asking specifically about when the temple will be destroyed. And the second question, notice this, and the second question is, what will be the sign of your coming? That's the second coming, his return. What will be the sign of your return? Now, these are two questions, two very specific questions, and Jesus answers both of these questions in Matthew chapter 24. The problem that a lot of people run into is they try to mix them together into one question, dealing with his second coming. But we know through history that that's not the case, because part of what Jesus says here in Matthew 24 is exactly what took place in 70 AD. Now, I want to break this down with Matthew 24 so that you will better understand exactly where I'm coming from and exactly where Jesus was coming from. First, as you look at this, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 14, he's talking specifically here about his second coming. Second coming. Verses 4 through 14. Now, in verse 15 through 28, he's talking about the fall of Jerusalem. And he tells them in the last verse there, verse 28, that there are many that were standing there that will not perish before they see this happen. Well, that was the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That was 40 years later from the time that Jesus spoke this. So there were many standing there that actually saw the fall of Jerusalem. Now, in verse 29 through 31, he's talking again about his second coming. In verse 32 through 35, he's talking about the parable of the fig tree, which deals with both of them, in that we should keep our eyes open, we should watch, we should be ready for these things to come. And if you look at verse 36 through 41, he's talking about his second coming again. And then verse 42 through 51, which is the most important, by the way, he's talking about us being ready. Are you ready? If Jesus came right now, are you ready? This is the thing that you need to really focus your attention on. Because Jesus tells us we do not know when these things will happen, when these things will exist. Now, I want you to know this, that one day I witnessed a very serious car accident. It literally happened right in front of me. I watched the lady driving the car pass in front of me. She ran a red light. And as she was passing in front of me, I saw her and I stopped, so I did not hit her, but she ran right across in front of me. And as she was coming across in front of me, I said, she's about to get hit. And then an 18-wheeler hit her. I was literally to the car within 30 seconds of the accident. She was gone. Now, I tell you that story because of this. I found out she had gone to the store and was on her way back home. We don't know when we're going to be called. We could be called today. We could be called tomorrow. We don't know. But the key to all that is be ready. For as soon as the bridegroom comes, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be taken up with him when he comes to take us home. Number one issue in all these lessons that I'm going to give you today, in all these lessons I'm going to give you next week and the week after, the number one issue is to always be ready. Now, we have a promise of Jesus' return. And this is not the only verse. There are several verses that I could have brought up. But this is one in which I really like, because what happened here in Acts chapter 1 is that Jesus ascended into heaven. And his apostles were all standing around looking up into the sky. And some angels appeared beside them and said to them, "This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." The same way he ascended, he will come back. That is a promise. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will surely return and bring you back to where I am." Amen on that one. Because I will be back and I will bring you to where I am. I get great comfort from that. I get great joy from that. And you should also receive that great comfort and that great joy in the promise in knowing that Jesus will return and he will bring us home to be with him. Now, this is the other point. In Matthew 24, verse 36, I want you to see this. No one knows when this is going to happen. Only God alone. So we don't know when this is going to occur. We don't know when this is going to happen. And I've heard people in my lifetime that have said, "This is the date that it's going to happen." I was at a New Year's Eve party when it turned 2000. Y'all remember that? They talk about Y2K and everything's going to go off and nothing's going to go, nothing, you know, everything's going to just cease to exist on Y2K. And we were at this New Year's Eve party and we were there and some of the guys decided it would be funny when we counted down to zero, they hit the power to the house and the house went dark. And there were some of the ladies, Kathy, there were some of the ladies that screamed when that happened. And I thought it was hilarious. Well, it was pretty funny until we all realized that every other house on the block had the light still on. So anyway, there have been lots of people that said this is going to be the end. Folks, that's the first way to figure out a false prophet. When they say they know, and I've heard TV evangelists say that we've calculated this and we've used this formula and whatnot, and we know when that day is coming. Folks, they don't know. They're false teachers. And that's an easy way to figure it out. No one knows. Jesus says, only God knows. All right? So therefore, because only God knows, do not be deceived. In Matthew 24, he talks about how there will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes in diverse places. All these things must happen. But if you notice right there at the bottom, right here, For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. All these things are going to happen, but that's not it. There are going to be people that are going to come and say, I am the Messiah, I am the one. And we know of lots in my lifetime, we know of lots of individuals who are false teachers, false prophets who say that I'm the Messiah, come and follow me. And they turn many people away. But folks, that's not it. So we must look at it as far as what the Scripture says very specifically about Jesus' second coming. So what I've done is I've put together a little synopsis of events. Now, I have sequence of events in quotations because a lot of these things are going to be happening simultaneously when this thing takes place. And one of the things that I didn't put in there was the fact that we are going to be changed in a blink of an eye from that which is mortal to that which is immortal. And I haven't put that in there, but the reason why I didn't put that in there is because the events that take place with Jesus Christ is what I wanted to put in there. Okay? All right. Let's look at these sequence of events. The first thing is this. In Matthew 24, verses 38 and 39, it tells us that just like the days of the flood, people were going about their business. Now, what that means is this. You're going to be going to work. You're going to be going to school. You're going to be going to the stores. You're going to be eating and drinking, it says, marrying and giving in marriage. All those normal things that you do on a daily basis, you're going to be doing. So it's not like we're going to know or have any indication that these things are going to take place. Does that make sense to everybody? You're going to be doing your normal stuff. You're going to be going and doing your normal thing. Just as always. That's why your normal stuff and your normal thing better be serving God. Because if it is serving God, if your normal stuff and your normal everyday thing is serving God, then you know what? You don't have anything to worry about. But what's going to happen is this. The trumpet is going to sound. With the voice or the shout of the archangel. It is going to get everyone's attention. Not one person will not respond. 100% of every person that is on this earth is going to respond to that trumpet, to that shout of the archangel. Every person. And it reminds me personally, I get this picture in my mind of the movie The Ten Commandments. When they're all lining up to leave Egypt and all those trumpets start to sound and everybody gets their attention, that's what it reminds me of. It might remind you of something entirely different, and that's perfectly fine with me because it doesn't make any difference what it reminds you of, but realize this. Every person that's on this face of this earth will respond. Not one person will not respond to this. Because it tells us in the next verse that I have up here in verse 27 of Matthew 24 that every eye will see. And I realized that that is a miracle in and among itself. Because even the people that are on the other side of the world are going to see what's going on. Everyone will see Jesus coming back. That's why when people come and say, I'm the Messiah, or this is the Messiah, or whatever, you realize that they are not the Messiah. Why? Because everyone hasn't seen them. When Jesus returns, everybody will see. That trumpet will sound, the shout of the archangel will go out, and every eye will see. Then, Christians are going to rejoice. Folks, I want you to know this. This is a day that I'm looking forward to, and if I'm still fortunate enough to be alive, walking on this face of the earth when Jesus comes back, I will rejoice. I will be excited. I will be holding my hands up. I will be praising God in every step that I can take. I will realize the power and the glory of our Lord and Savior. All those things will happen immediately. When that trumpet sounds and my eyes behold, I will rejoice. But I want you to know there are two reactions that are going to happen to that. Because there's a second reaction. Non-Christians will seek to hide. Why are they going to hide? It's because they fear the wrath of God. Remember I told you before that perfect love erases all fear? Once you have that perfect love, once you have that perfect knowledge of your salvation through Jesus Christ, I don't fear punishment. I look forward to His coming. But on the same regard as you look at this, realize those who have rejected God, those who have rejected Christ, they're going to seek to hide. They're going to go into the caves and they're going to call for the rocks to cover them so that they will not be found with the wrath of God. These are two responses. Which response will you be? I will be the response of glorifying God. Then what we will see is this. We will see that Jesus will send forth His angels to gather together His elect. From the four winds, it says, from one end of the sky to the other, in other words, from all over the world, Jesus will send out His angels to gather together all those who follow Him. And notice, the dead in Christ, those who are in paradise at this moment, the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will be called out of paradise. They shall rise first. And I talk about this as a glorious reunion for all those people who have gone on before us, who are in paradise, who are there. And we will be with them again. A glorious reunion will be called up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are left will be taken up together with them to meet them in the clouds. And so we shall always be with the Lord. We who are left will be taken up. Now, Paul tells them this message in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He tells them this message because he starts out and he says, I do not want you to be uninformed. Because by this time, several of the Christian people had died. And so Paul is telling them, says, look, we're not going to precede those who have gone on. They're going to rise first. And then we who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Does that not sound like a glorious reunion? What a great time it will be when I see my father again, when I see my mother again. And yes, we will know them. That comes for another lesson, but yes, we will. But realize what a great time that will be. Now, also look at this verse in verses 40 and 41 of Matthew 24. It talks about how there will be those who are working in the field, grinding at the mill. Two will be there, one will be taken, the other will be left. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds for that glorious reunion. A lot of people use this incorrectly, and they talk about how that's called the rapture. That is a terminology that is man-made. It is not biblical. But what they do say is that they're going to be taken up before Jesus comes, and then the others will be left to suffer all the plagues that are in the book of Revelation. And by the way, I'm going to have a big study on the book of Revelation on Sunday nights as soon as we finish our study on the Sermon on the Mount. Because I've had lots of requests, and therefore that's what we're going to do. You're going to see, too, in that a lot of the sensationalism that comes out of that book is not true. But here's something that's not true. Those who are not with God, those who are not Christian people, will not be taken up in that first resurrection. Now, next week when we get to the judgment, we'll talk about that. Because those people are in what's called death. And to get a little ahead of myself, there are three types of death that are spoken of in the Bible. And the second type, which they are in, is spiritual death. Separation from God, because they are not with God. And that's in 1 John chapter 1 about those who live in sin do not have fellowship with God. That's spiritual death. Okay? We'll talk more about that next week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 17 tells us this. When we are called up, we will always be with the Lord. Always be with the Lord. He has come back to bring us to where He is. That He has prepared a place for us. And we will be there with Him. Always be with the Lord. And so therefore, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, I have this. It says these words, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Jesus is coming quickly. But notice this also, right at the end, it says these words, come, Lord Jesus. That is our prayer. That is our hope. We pray for him to come. We are ready for him to come. Jesus says, I come quickly, and I say, come on. Come on. We want him here. We want him now. So as we look at what Jesus says, as we think about his second coming, the key to all of it is be ready, because we don't know when that will occur. If you have a need this morning, a need to be ready, a need to be baptized, or a need for our prayers, we ask you to come. All together we stand and sing.